Gospel for Grampian listeners, it's Angelina and Myrtle coming to you from Women of Africa Care. We start our broadcast for May with freedom comes responsibility. We just want to close off with where we left off in April, talking about being in the wilderness and believing in the journey. The journey is all about the experience, because whatever you go through in the wilderness is a way of letting go of the old way of thinking, the old mindsets, the slavery mentality, so that you can enter your new level of promises with a new mindset. You know, every time God wants to promote you, he's going to pull you out of the busyness to help you and shape you for the next level, a purpose in life. And in that wilderness period, you can determine how long you're in that wilderness. You can determine it. God never intended for the nation of Israel to go 40 years in the wilderness. They had a right to go in earlier. But the reason they delayed their entry is because of
stubbornness, Angelina. And you know, when people are stubborn, they don't think. And you know what? They had the most wonderful time actually in the wilderness. God gave them manna that tasted like honeycomb wafers. Would you not like to eat that honeycomb wafers?
You know, Myrtle, when I read that in Exodus, I said to the Lord, Lord, I want some of that. Little did I know that he actually told Moses them, take some of that, put it in the ark for the generations to come. And what does he say in Revelations, Myrtle?
He says he's going to leave it there for us. Yes. When we get to heaven one day, he's going to give it to us.
We get to eat that manna. Yeah,
oh,
we.
I can't wait, Angelina.
I can't wait. Myrtle and I absolutely love honey. And to think that you're in the wilderness, you are getting coriander seed-like wafer to bake bread and make all things nice to eat. You complain. Stubborn people don't enjoy the good things that comes to them freely.
You know, Angelina, they got everything for free, but they had that slavery mentality.
You know, stubborn people, it's a curse. They bring curses upon themselves because, like you're saying, they don't see the miracles right in front of them. Fresh, organic manna.
Yeah.
Fresh quail blown into them. They didn't have to go hunt for it. I'm a farmer's daughter. My dad used to hunt for partridge, hunt for guinea fowl. Here, they didn't work for it. You said they freely got it and they complained. They would have rather become, they even said, take us back to Egypt and we will work and earn our meat and our bread and our vegetables. And here God is saying, I'm giving you free organic stuff and you don't have to do anything for it. It's free. Mountainous, gushing, fresh water. And what do? They complained. They complained. Even the animals got to drink that fresh water. I think about the Israel nation, that it was sad because the very people, Myrtle, that cried in Egypt for God to rescue them were the very people that died in the wilderness. Because God said that everybody that is under 20 will enter the promised land with Joshua. But everybody that are over 20, except for Joshua and Caleb, will perish in the wilderness because they still conformed to the ways of Egypt mentality rather than in those 40 years conforming to God. God was tangibly, physically in their presence. The Bible says that the cloud was there by day and the fire was there by night to light them up, the cloud in the day to protect them from the scorching sun, the fire at night to light up the area. God protected them. Every single conqueror in the wilderness, God won the battle for them. They had victory. They had free food. They just had to move when God said move and stop when God said stop. And in that period, God was teaching them, discover me, learn about me, know me. You don't have to go into the promised land and ask for a king. I will be your God and you will be my people. You don't need a leader. You just need me. But in order to walk with me, you need to know me. If I send you into the promised land where I've given you the power to create wealth, you will forget about me if you don't know me. Because remember, in the promised land, the minute they enter the promised land, the provision from heaven stopped, because God's saying, now that I'm making you enter in, now you've got the power to create wealth and sustain yourself in the promised land. So the promised land is your anointing at work in your life to be successful. But when you're in the wilderness, you don't need anointing. You need discovery. Discovering God.
Amen.
Discovering yourself. Knowing who you are in God. Shaping your character. Shaping your value system. Because why? When you go into the promised land, there's other people there. And if you don't know your God, they are going to influence you. And so, the first thing you need to know is you need to have a spirit like the tribe of Issachar. They discern the seasons and the times, gospel for Grampian. They knew that they were in the wilderness. It was a time of them to discover God, to discover themselves, to discover their nature, and to conform to everything that God wants them to conform. I like what Myrtle says. You have to be yielded, total obedience. When you're in the wilderness, you learn obedience to God. You learn the voice of God.
Amen.
You learn to follow the leading of the Lord. Think about it. He said, stop. The cloud stopped. You got to stop. The fire moved, or the cloud moved. You got to move. You learned submission to the Lord, meaning anything you wanted, who are you going to call on?
Jesus Christ.
Gospel for Grampian listeners, when you're in your wilderness, the economy cannot help you. People cannot help you. Your skill sets cannot help you. Your friends and networks cannot help you. It's just you and God.
Amen.
The naked you and God. And when he says trek, meaning move, you move. When he says stop, you stop. When you're in the wilderness, gospel for Grampian listeners, God cuts off everything so that you can develop a full relationship with him, where you hear his voice, where you understand him, and you obey his instructions. Total obedience. He cuts off everything and everyone. And when you're there, where you can submit to him completely, where you hear his voice, where you know his voice, where when he says move, you know you got to move, because the unction in you says, no, I don't have peace to move, because God's not telling me to move. I don't have peace. I have peace to move now. Or I don't have peace. You hear it so clearly. When you are one with God, then you can be like Joshua and Caleb, and God says, now go spy out the land. You will go willingly and cheerfully to spy out the land, because you are one with God. You've experienced the miracles. You've enjoyed the wafer and the honey. You've enjoyed the quail. You've enjoyed that fresh water. And you know God is all you need. When you know God is all you need, then you're ready for the promised land. Because in the promised land, you have to work it. You're in the economy. You have to take the skill sets, the anointing of God at you, and in the economy say, I have the power to create wealth. And when you see all the other people that are like giants there, you're not going to be intimidated. You're not going to conform to their ways. You're not going to follow their patterns. You're not going to follow their cultures. You're not going to follow their values, because you are one with God.
Angelina, you're not going to moan and groan the whole time.
Yes, because the wilderness was there to get rid of the old ways so that you can think one and one with God to operate in the new level. Total submission. Lord, I'm feeling the pain of no finance. What should I do? Wait. God tells you wait. You wait. God, I'd like bread, but I don't have money. And suddenly somebody gives you bread. You didn't talk to anybody and you didn't even have money for bread. What happens? You're depending on God. That is the wilderness. Everything you need, God did it. God did it. God did it. Total submission.
Angelina, it makes me think of myself. When God took my car away, I had to submit to God. He put me in my house that I can't go anywhere. To submit to him.
And to hear his voice.
To hear his small voice. And today, I don't regret not having a car.
And to discover him. discovering him. That is what the wilderness is. We're asking you, Gospel for Grampian listeners, believe in the journey. If God has allowed you to be in a wilderness period, don't fight it, don't challenge it, don't be rebellious, don't be disobedient.
And Angelina, we have to be obedient to God before we enter into our promised land. Speak to God in prayer before you make any decisions. You will miss your destiny if you are disobedient. Moses had a hard time with stubborn people, and he lost his destiny because of this stubborn people.
When you're in your journey of wilderness, beware of the people around you. And know yourself in God, because their stubbornness will frustrate you.
Yeah.
Think what happened with Moses.
True.
I mean, we think about even in our times when we had wilderness, we have to be careful. Hey, Myrtle, we had to be careful of keeping negative people in our mind, in our proximity.
Yeah, you know, Angelina, I hate negative people. It's not nice to say hate, but I hate negative people.
Because they frustrate you.
And positive people, positive attracts positive.
That's, oh, I love what you're saying. Positive attracts positive. When you're in your wilderness, it's a sensitive period. It's a getting rid of things that you're familiar with. It's a weaning off of the ways of Egypt. In the past, you were dependent on yourself and your job and your income and everybody. You were so fine. And in the wilderness, you are totally dependent on God. You can't even depend on yourself. And when you're in that place, it is sensitive. It is sensitive. When you're in your wilderness, it is sensitive because you're cut off from everything but God. So you have to have faith to believe God for food, for water, for expenses being met, for everything. And in that sensitive period, if you have moaning, groaning, complaining, negative people, you are in trouble.
Big trouble.
And that is exactly what happened to a large part of the Israel nation. In the wilderness, a lot of them perished because they poisoned one another with negativity. And so when you know your season, become aware of it in the wilderness. Believe in the journey that God promised you, good ending, and allow the process to take place and cut yourself off negative people. Cut yourself off negative social media. Cut yourself off of negative entertainment, because anything the devil will bring, media, airwave media, social media, Facebook, YouTube, TV, friends, families, everybody, that will try to come and feed negativity into your head. And so you have to be wise in your wilderness period and say, I have to cut off, because I don't want to be a Moses where God has called me to lead a great exploit, but I had frustrated people that actually robbed me from my destiny. Think about it. You know, that hurts. I thank God I'm not Moses. It would have hurt me, Myrtle, to do one of the most greatest exploits in history like he did. And get right to the promised land. And outside the promised land, I look in, but I don't have the mandate to enter, because frustration in the people caused me to misrepresent God.
Angelina, you can't let anybody get into your space.
The sensitivity.
Your friends wisely.
Your friends, your family, what you read, where you go. What you feed your heart, because I mean, when I go through my wilderness experiences, Myrtle, I have to search my own heart. The offenses come so easily. Listen, the devil is so selfish, Gospel for Grampian listeners. When you are going through your wilderness period, he comes to make you not believe in the outcome. God gives you a promise that it's going to happen, that you are going into your promised land. And people come along the way, your loved ones, your friends, your family, strangers, people that you looked up to. And will come and tell you something out of line. And you can easily believe that lie because you're sensitive, you're emotional, you're cutting off characters and natures in you that needs to be stripped away. You're broken. Listen, when you have purpose, you are fulfilled. But when God suddenly interrupts you and says, I'm now taking you to a period where I'm cutting off everything, even purpose, so you and I can have a conversation, and I need you to be so full of me and nothing of you, so that when you go to the next level of your promise, you are full of me. And in that period, you are so sensitive because you're so used to being full of purpose. Now you've got no purpose. You feel insignificant. No title, no purpose, no relevance, no significance. And my gosh, I'm sensitive. And then you get people to come and tell you, like Job's friends, You missed it. You sinned. You did something wrong. Gospel for Grampian listeners, Myrtle and I encourage you today, know your wilderness period, believe in the journey, and in your wilderness period, be consumed with the presence of the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, intercede as often as you can, and bring people that the Holy Spirit allows into your space.
God gave you a vision. He won't lie to you. That vision is for you. So believe in Him and trust Him. That vision will come to fruition.
I love what Myrtle is saying. She's saying, believe in the journey because that vision has a time and it will come to pass. Right? Today's inspiration. With freedom comes responsibility. Some high-level nuggets from Dr. Miles Monroe. He talks about the wilderness period and he says the wilderness period was necessary to get rid of the servant mindset because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:16, woe to the land whose king was a servant and whose princes feast in the morning. When you have a servant as a king, then they cannot rule because they will bring disorder and chaos. A king is a person that has got noble character and has the anointing to lead the kingdom. A servant, if they have not been groomed into kingship, they will create chaos in the kingdom. So that is why the process in the wilderness is to raise you up to be a king in your promised land. And that is exactly what God was doing in the wilderness period. He said, I'm taking you out of slavery so that you can find yourself in me. I am God. You don't need a leader. If you know me, you know yourself because you are created in my image and likeness. So in the wilderness, know me so you can know you so that you can lead in your promised places. And so what the scripture is saying is that if the servant doesn't get groomed into kingship, then he will not know how to rule his kingdom and he will be a slave in his own kingdom, right? And so some of the nuggets that Dr. Miles Monroe talks about with freedom, he says freedom are two words, free and domain. You are free to dominate the environment that God has called you to dominate. Genesis 1:26 is one of Myrtle's famous scriptures that she loves. And God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, and let them have dominion over the birds of the air, the ocean life, and every creature and animal that lives on the land. So God says there that He created us to be free and dominate the life in the air, in the ocean, and on land. And he was talking about the things he created that he put us ruler over. Notice, God didn't say you're going to be ruler over people. He said you're going to be ruler over the things I created that have life in the air, the ocean life, and the animals and creatures on the land. But what happened was man didn't believe in their ability and potential, and they submitted to human leadership. They didn't know that they were created in the image of God to be able to be responsible with the domain that God has given them. So they demanded a leader because they didn't want to take responsibility. Because with freedom comes responsibility. A leader takes responsibility. A slave submits to the leader and gets what he needs. So a slave doesn't need responsibility. A slave just does what you tell them to do. But the responsibility comes in leadership. And God designed us to all self-lead. But the minute you move away from your God design, then you are intimidated to take responsibility. And that's where you become a slave to other people. And so what he's saying here, freedom is a process. Irresponsibility leads to slavery. Every wilderness is a process of freedom, empowerment, getting you back to your original design, just you and God, so you know you're created in His image with kingdom mindset. You're a king, you have a domain, and you must have dominion over it. When God removes you from Egypt, you are delivered, but you are not free. In the wilderness, you are going through a pruning process to become free from slavery into becoming a king. God cannot allow the spirit of Egypt to enter your promised place. So being born again, you are delivered, but you have to go to the wilderness to be tested to embrace your freedom. Many people become born again, Myrtle, but they end up living like before they became born again. They still follow the patterns of before they became a Christian. And so the wilderness period is so critical for you to be transformed, because they say, I'm a Christian now, I'm born again, but how come I don't have fulfillment? What is the promised land that God talks about? You haven't went through the process. And so there are three tests of passing for God to trust you in the promised land, says Dr. Maltz. And these, he says, God prepares you so that when you enter your promised land, you act differently from the people in that land. The Bible says that we're a peculiar people. We can't be in the promised land, act like the Egyptians, and say we're peculiar. Peculiar people stand out. So your wilderness enables you to stand out. So when they are living a sexually promiscuous life in the promised land, you don't live like that because you're different. Your promised land taught you to get rid of sexual appetites. Gluttony, any unhealthy. There's three ways the enemy comes to attack you. And the test that you go through is flesh test, bodily test, sexual appetites, drugs, addictions, all of that is relating to your body. You go through the testing of your physical body. Can I resist sexual temptation? Can I resist drugs? Can I resist alcohol? Can I resist gluttony or bulimia? Can I resist anything that will endanger my body? That is the physical body test, body appetite. He says the other test is famehood, the test for power. Remember, Jesus went through this. The devil said, will you bow down and worship me? I'll give you all titles. In your wilderness, you got no time to worry about famehood. You got no time to worry about title. It's irrelevant in the wilderness. Title means nothing because you cut off from everything. Who cares about whether you're the CEO or the director, right?
Exactly, Angelina. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes, yes. To be tested about your title and your power. And if you can't deal with it, then you're going to go back to Egypt to be a CEO or to be a financial director or to be an executive, because in the wilderness period, God says, I'm stripping your character because it's irrelevant in the promised land. In the promised land, you need me, not your title. So you get tested. Lord, I'm in the wilderness stuck. Do people even know I exist? And then the last test is the test of pride, where it's all about me, myself, and I. That's the next test that you go through in the wilderness. How is it about me? Is it? Because pride is, what are other people thinking about me? Competing, comparing. Oh my gosh, I gotta hide. Pride is, you're gonna be tested about yourself and how other people see you. If you are embarrassed about how other people see you, you have pride. Because when you are in Christ, you no longer live. In Christ, you live, move, and have your being. It's irrelevant about your wealth status. It's irrelevant about how much money you have. It's irrelevant where you live. It's irrelevant the car you drive. It's irrelevant the clothes you wear. Pride says, I got it together. I wear the best. I live the best. I have this. Pride puts a label to it. And in the wilderness, what car you drive, what brand you own, what bread you eat is insignificant, right? What restaurants you eat is insignificant, because in the wilderness, it's just you and God. And then God says, while you're in there, I'm going to bring in those opportunities where people are going to bring you the fancy car. They're going to bring you a fancy opportunity and title. They're going to bring those sexual appetite desires to you. Will you say no? Will you be wise enough like Joshua and say, how should I tackle this giant? As they were conquering, Joshua and Moses consulted God every step of the way. What should we do? How should we conquer this king? They submitted to the Lord. They didn't submit to title. Moses didn't say, I'm led by God to lead you out. I will tell you how to fight the giant. Joshua didn't say, I'm second in charge. I will tell you what to do. They both submitted their authority to God and said, God, how do you want us to go? Which road do we go? And how do we conquer? That is submission. That I put aside my title. I put aside my popularity. I put aside my food needs, like what happened with them. And you know what, Lord? Whatever you tell me. You give me manna, I'm going to love it.
You know, Angelina, More of God, less of yourself.
That is what happens
God
in the wilderness.
In your life.
And that's why you go through a wilderness, because, you know, when we stay long enough in Egypt, it is so easy for us to conform to their ways. You'll only know you need a wilderness when you're in the wilderness and you begin to look at your heart. Listen, you when you are in a circular environment, you can live in denial and say you're not like that. You're not like those people. Or you don't have the love of money. Or you don't prideful. Or you're not this or you're not that. But strip away all those things and then you'll see the state of your heart. Listen, who you hang around with influences you. They were slaves to Egypt, so they were influenced by the Egypt ways of living. So if we are totally in secular environment and never have wilderness, subtly we conform to those ways. But take us away from there and put us in a wilderness period where everything is removed. Just me, my soul, my spirit, my body, one with God, everybody cut off, all busyness cut off. And then I get to see my heart through the eyes of God. I get to see my attitude through the eyes of God. I get to see my desires through the eyes of God. And then after a while, at the right time, the temptation comes, the test comes. God will never bring a test in the wilderness when you're not ready for it, because he knows that test will take you back to Egypt. He will make sure the testing happens when he's seen that you have submitted enough. And then when you submitted enough, what does the Bible say? You say this a lot. The Lord will not tempt you more than you can handle. Yeah. That's what you say. The Bible says that he'll create an escape route. God knows he's a merciful God. The fact that he gave them water twice, manna and quail, in their grumpiness tells you he's full of mercy, because he could have wiped them out a long time ago. He was full of grace and mercy. So in your wilderness period and my wilderness period at Gospel for Grampian, God graces us with strength that when the testing of lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life comes our way, we have been built enough and discovered ourselves well enough with him to be able to say no, resist and reject. I think about me, Myrtle, when I was going through my wilderness, when people or negative thoughts was fed into my mind, you got to make a move, you got to do something. I waited on the Lord and I said, I don't know what to do. Please, can you direct me? Because you told me to do this. The Lord would say, wait, don't quit. And that is exactly what the Lord does, Gospel for Grampian listeners, that when you go through your wilderness period, you got no choice but to call only on God. And he's so clear. Hey, you've heard his voice so clear so many times.
Amen. You know, Angelina, it's so amazing. When you sit in your house alone with the word of God and you pray and you just in his presence, you can hear that still voice that God telling you, don't worry, I'll be there for you. Tomorrow is another day. Don't worry. I'll be there for you.
Yes, yes. And that is what happens in the wilderness. You begin to discover God. You begin to discover who you are. And you begin to discover your purpose.
And you learn to be submissive to God.
Submissive. Like Myrtle started the conversation, she said, disobedience is a danger. And disobedience comes through stubbornness. But when you totally submit, then you can walk in obedience. You can walk in obedience. I love that. So Myrtle, talk to us.
Angelina, I'll take you through the wilderness, where they have to enter the promised land, but they're so stubborn. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on the side of the Jordan in the wilderness. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and process it. As the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you, do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you come near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, So I took 12 of your men, one man of each tribe. And they departed and went up into the mountain and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us, saying, "It is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Fear caused the spies to not go up the mountain, Angelina."
Sure.
"Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebel against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us.'" They were intimidated by the way they saw that themselves, the people. They saw the people as giants and themselves as, like you said earlier, grasshoppers. They had a poor self-image mindset. Only Joshua and Caleb saw the opportunity of the promised land for Israel. Grasshopper mindset made them complain, Angelina. "Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, 'The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are greater and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Amalek there.' Then Moses said to them, 'Do not be terrified or be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, all the way by which you traveled until you reach the place.' Yet, for all that, Angelina, they did not believe the Lord our God, who went into in the way before them to search our place for them to pitch their tents, to show the way they should go in the fire by night and in the cloud by day, like you said earlier, Angelina. And the Lord heard the sound of their words and was angry and took oath of saying, 'Surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land of which I swore to give to you, to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephthah. He shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he was really followed the Lord.'" Gospel for Grampian listeners, God used Moses and Joshua to many times to assure Israelis people that God will fight for them, just as he did in Egypt. But they did not trust God, and that's why their promise wasn't fulfilled. So by unbelief, the group of Israelites died in the wilderness. You know, Angelina, Moses, the leader who was ordained by God to lead them into the promised land, in a disobedient, when he hit the rock, instead of speaking to the rock for water, that frustration caused him not to enter his promised land. So, Angelina, like I said earlier, obedience is better than sacrifice. Because of his disobedience, he missed out on a big thing.
Enjoying the promised land himself, because that he was entitled to the promised land. Gospel for Grampian listeners, let's take heed to what Myrtle is saying now, that, you know, our destiny can be costed by having the wrong people in our camp. I mean, thank God for Joshua and thank God for Caleb.
Caleb.
But everybody else in the Israel camp were so negative that it sunk all the people that came from slavery. But the people that stood their ground were the people that only knew God, and that was Joshua, Caleb, Moses, as well as all the children that were born in the wilderness. And what we learn is that when they were entering into their promised land, God said straight, circumcise all the children. He said that when they left Egypt, the older people, all of them must be circumcised. But God did not circumcise the ones that were born along the way. Only when they came to Jordan, before they entered Jericho, God said, now you circumcise them. And once they were circumcised, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. The reason he didn't circumcise those children born in the wilderness is because they still had the negative authorities in their families feeding them Egypt mentality. So God only circumcised them on the day before they entered Jordan, because by the time they got there to enter Jordan, everybody that was from Egypt with slave mindset had died. So now we circumcise you because you are now not having anything of Egypt in you.
We don't know what is God's plan for our lives unless we submit to him.
So when we get circumcised, Myrtle, that is what is supposed to happen. When we are circumcised in the spirit, we are cutting off the old ways. In the New Testament, it says we are not circumcised by flesh. We are circumcised in the spirit. Romans 2, 28-29 says, a person is not a Jew who is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. Mm. It says, no, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is a heart by the spirit and not by a written code. Meaning, circumcision is a heart cut off of the world and a total oneness with the ways of God. In the Old Testament, circumcision was a physical cut. But if it was a physical cut only, then God wouldn't have waited for the youngsters to be at Jordan to circumcise them. He would have circumcised each child within 7 days or 8 days of being born. He needed them to be cut off completely from a heart attitude about Egypt. Had they been circumcised as a law 8 days after they were born, they would have still had that Egypt mentality in their heart because of the moaning and the groaning of the elder generation. So what happened? God said, only before you go into the promised land, I'm going to cut off Egypt mindset. Because then now when you circumcise, it is an illustration of a heart attitude. It's got nothing to do with the physical circumcision. It all has to do with, I'm cutting off Egypt out of your life. Now, therefore, he said to them, now, today, I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So circumcision, God does when you're in the wilderness before you enter the promised land. He helps you get rid of the old way of thinking and living. Your heart attitude must be completely one with his kingdom way of doing things, totally understanding the mysteries of heaven. And when you are in that position of total confidence in God and not putting confidence in the flesh, circumcision is saying, I'm letting go of confidence in the flesh and I'm putting confidence in the Lord. And that is what the wilderness does. It makes you let go of confidence in self, confidence in people, confidence in the world's economy and way of doing things, and total confidence in the Lord. When you do that, then you're ready to embrace Jericho, because you know it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. What I wanted to say was, Gospel for Grampian listeners, is that when God told Joshua to take them into the promised land, he warned them so many times. He said, when you enter the promised land, destroy everything there, the people, the things, the treasury, everything. Because if you keep things there, it will affect you living in the promised land, because you will become conformed to the ways of the patterns of the world. He gave them many warnings. And he said to Joshua in Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And he says to them, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night and do everything that is written so that you can prosper and be successful. Now, this is the key. In the wilderness, that's the rule. In the wilderness, it's you, God, the sword of the Spirit, and the word of God. And he says to you, keep this with you. Meditate on this. That when you enter the promised land, this is the pattern. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and knowing who you are in God, and you will do great exploits. And then we see when Joshua entered the promised land, he had to go and conquer all the lands for all the tribes. So he took the tribes and he went and he led them to conquer the lands. And God gave him instruction for every conquering of land, Myrtle. He told Joshua how to go conquer them. So had Joshua didn't learn in the wilderness a relationship with the Lord and how to do it God's way, when he entered the promised land, he would have taken his title as the captain of the army and just went and fought crazy. But how God told him to fought, won battles because there was heaven strategy on how to fight the battles. So in his own strength, he would never be able to win a battle. Because remember when they got into Jericho, God said, your entire army will never ever be able to bring the walls of Jericho down. It is too strong. You have to do it my way. And God's way of strategy of breaking down the walls of Jericho was, go put praise and worship team in the front and walk around it seven times. And on the last day, do it seven times and do a shout victory. And the walls came tumbling down. So the obedience, like you said, to the instruction to conquer the land of Jericho was nothing circular, was nothing how the armies in the world would do. You don't go there with your swords and your shields and your horses. He didn't say do any of that. He said, this is the instruction. And in your wilderness, that's what happens. You learn to unlock the mysteries of God so that every conquering you do when you're in the promised land, you will always tap into heaven's mystery on how to get strategy to conquer those lands. Because there's corruption and there's negativity and everything wicked. And the enemy is behind it. In the carnal, the enemy is behind it. You'll never win because you can't fight the devil in your carnal. But when you listen to God, you'll always win. I mean, I'm thinking about the one instruction that got my attention was when God told them to go and conquer the land of Ai. God warned them, take nothing, destroy everything. Achan saw some gold and silver and precious things, and he stole it. Guess what happened? The army was destroyed. 3,000 people went to go fight. 36 of them were killed, and the rest of Israel's army fled in fear, back to Joshua. Joshua pleaded and cried with the Lord, and he said, oh, Lord God, what will the Egyptians say? Yeah, they see us as a great nation, and now suddenly we're defeated. How can that be? God tells Joshua, stand up. What are you doing on your face down? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. And then he highlighted, they took something, and they lied, and they stole. They disobeyed. So the key here, Gospel for Grampian listeners, that when God gives you freedom, it comes with responsibility. Because in that responsibility, you have protection. If you don't be responsible, you don't have protection. And then your battles are defeated. You don't have victory. Responsibility is obedience to God. God, what do you say? That looks like a good investment. That looks like a good house. That looks like a good business premise. That looks like a good vehicle, a combi for our business. Can we have it? Should we have it? What do you say? God says, wait, I don't take it. God says, don't buy that investment, Myrtle. We don't take it because we don't rely on human understanding. We rely on the mysteries of God to direct us. And you see every step of the way after that, God led them. And they conquered. But when they were disobedient, they lost. And you see that pattern throughout the entire time, throughout the book of Judges and the book of Samuel and the book of Chronicles, etc. They continued. They had rest for 80 years, rest for 40 years. But the minute the leader was gone, the nation disobeyed. They depended so much on the leader, they forgot to have a relationship with God. They had a relationship with the leader. That when the leader was gone, they submitted to the influence of the world.
If you conform to the pattern of the world, that's a wrong pattern.
Yeah.
You have to obey God.
Have to obey God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Very quickly, I'm thinking about Saul. God told Samuel to tell him to conquer the Amalekites. God said, this is how you're going to conquer. Destroy everything. Everything. Saul kept a few of the cows, the animals, because the people were hungry and it looked like good animals. So he destroyed the weak animals and he kept the good crop and he said, we're going to keep it. And Samuel heard it and Samuel said, why did you not kill everything? He said, no, I kept the good because these are good things. We can give it as a sacrifice to God. And the soldiers that were hungry. Then Samuel said, you are worried about the needs of the people rather obeying God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And what we pick up in the Bible that a lot of times the Israelites gave a lot of sacrifice to God, yet they disobeyed. And that's where God is saying, there's one thing you're giving me a sacrifice, but your heart is disobedient. Because God looks at the heart of man to judge. Our heart must be obedient because then our offering to God is a sweet smelling aroma. But when we give a sacrifice to God and our heart is disobedient, then it is not a sweet smelling sacrifice. That is why God says obedience is better than sacrifice. If he tells you get rid of everything, don't let covetousness and riches rob you of getting rid of everything. If he says to you, keep, you keep. If he says, let go, let go. You will face three things in life, gospel for grandparent listeners. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Know yourself well enough so that you will not be tempted more than you can handle. Learn to resist things. Not every open door is a door from heaven. Satan tempted Jesus with three open doors, and Jesus said, no, it is written. Discern what is of God. And discern what is not of God so that you can enjoy the good of the land and sustain yourself in the good of the land instead of going to and fro because you're like a wave tossed to and fro because of disobedience. Talk to us, Myrtle.
He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to justify, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Wow.
God's plan to give us a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Believe God's word that it is true. For I know the thoughts that I think of towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Believe in your journey, gospel for grandparent listeners.
God wants us to sanctify us to be more like his son. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen.
Holy communion justify us. Now we must apply the word of God, for it is sanctifies us, making us holy. We can now his will by renewing our minds in accordance with the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen, amen, amen. I agree with that, you know, and, you know, I'm thinking about what you're saying now, and I think about how the Israel tribes messed up because they did not submit to the perfect will of God. God warned them when Joshua took them into their promised lands. God said to them, get rid of everything that are influential in the world's way. Get rid of idol worship. Do not intermarry. Do not engage them. Destroy everything when you enter into that land because those are cursed things and you're going to become a curse. He warned them. In Judges 1:27, the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Asher, and the tribe of Naphtali, they disobeyed God. When they conquered Myrtle, they each kept a little bit of those people in the land. And here the angel of God tells them, in Judges 2, the angel of the Lord went up to Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land I swore to give your ancestors. And I said, I will never break my covenant with me, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of that land. That is why he told them, destroy everything. But you were supposed to not make a covenant with them and pull down all their altars. You disobeyed me. Why have you done this? I am now not going to drive them out of the land. I'm going to keep them there as a trap to ensnare you, because how else are you going to listen? Because you keep disobeying me. I know what they're going to do. They are going to ensnare you and lure you into their patterns and their ways. That's why I told you, destroy all of them. Now you leave a little bit of them there, and now they've trapped you, and now you've become a slave again. Disobedience.
Angelina, I can't believe that they hide this stuff and think God's not going to know what they're busy doing.
And so before Joshua dies, he tells them again. He says, you were supposed to take possession and inherit it and get rid of all the things there. And if you don't destroy all those things and you intermarry, you're going to end up worshiping their gods, and you are no different to where you came from. I took you through the wilderness to get rid of them so that you can believe me and walk with me. And therefore, I'm saying, when you enter the promised land, be wise enough to resist and reject anything that is not of me. They were stubborn, like you said. I don't know how, because they were a different breed from their parents. But they, I don't know, they just decided, I think, that they so relied on the leaders that when the leaders were gone, they just submitted. They relied on the leader to have a relationship with the Lord rather than they have a personal relationship with the Lord. And I think that is what a lot of people fall short of the glory of God. They look to the leaders in their spiritual environments to have a relationship with the Lord to feed them. Then when they in their promised land, they get conformed and distracted by the things of the world because they don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. Because when I look at the entire history of the Israel nation, every time a godly leader died, they perished under the submission of an ungodly leader. And every time God raised up a godly leader to lead them, they went back on track. They did not know how to have a personal relationship with the Lord. So Gospel for Grampian listeners, the secret of success as a born-again Christian is for each one of us to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Because then you have accountability and responsibility. When you're asking God for freedom, it comes with personal responsibility. Don't put blame on your spiritual parents or your church leaders to build your success. It's you responsible. If when you became born again, you have freedom. And that freedom comes with personal responsibility and relationship with the living God.
You know, Angelina, you are going to stand in front of God, just you yourself. Nobody's going to stand there with you to say, Angelina told me I must do it. You are the only one going to stand in front of God, and he's going to judge you according what you did.
I love what you're saying.
All your life.
And there ain't going to be any leader or parent to say it's the parent's fault, because when you're at the age of understanding, you're going to stand in front of the judge and you're going to account for your life. And if you're saying, God, I want freedom and I'm not seeing my promised land, it's because you're disobedient. You're not taking responsibility for what you're desiring from the Lord. Every good gift comes with a responsibility.
Amen.
God says he will judge us for the talents he's given us.
That's true. Gospel for Grampian listeners, God says, I will show you the way. And God says, I will give you a roadmap. God says, I will teach you which direction to head. God said, I am the way. Jesus knows the way. He is your way. God said, I will send you another comforter, to the Holy Spirit, who lead you into all truth and righteousness. Angelina, here are some guidance for scripture to apply in your life to be obedient. Repent. God is merciful and wants all to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
then give thanks to God. An attitude of humility.
And we've seen that the ones that perished in the wilderness had no gratitude. They had the most organic food. And they were so ungrateful. And free they got it.
That's true. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Amen.
So, Angelina, if you have a good heart and you serve God, that's all God wants from you. Be humble and serve the Lord. Then 1 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you might put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
Yes.
God for people is the greatest act of serving God. When we do good, we reveal God's love to people and it humbles us.
And you can't do good, Myrtle. I love what you're saying. You can't do good when you don't know good. And God is good. So to have goodness, you need to know God, because goodness and mercy is of God. So if you want to do good, then you need to know God. And that's what the wilderness period does. It helps you discover God, discover yourself, discover your purpose, so that when you're in the promised land, nobody can distract you from God, from your purpose, and from who you are in God. Because Satan comes to steal your identity. He comes to steal your destiny, and he comes to steal your salvation. He wants you to go to hell with him. So salvation, relationship with the Lord is how he steals your salvation, by distracting you from having a good relationship with the Lord. He comes and steals you from your destiny by opening doors that are not of the Lord. And he comes and takes you out of your purpose by taking you the wrong way. The Bible says that a way seems good to man, but it leads to destruction. That's why you need your wilderness periods to discover yourself, discover God, and discover your purpose. So, gospel for grandparent listeners, with freedom comes responsibility. Embrace your wilderness period to discover yourself and God and purpose, so that you can be responsible in your promised land. Learn from what didn't work out with the Israel nation. They perpetually cried out to God because they were so disobedient, because they didn't understand the value of their wilderness period. I pray that you will have been blessed by what we have said today, and that you will embrace your wilderness so that you can look ahead to your promised land with strength like Joshua and Caleb did. They were positive entering the promised land because they seen the goodness of God. And while they were in the wilderness, they dwelt in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says that Joshua served Moses. We embrace our wilderness by being right in the presence of the Lord, not being moaning, grumbling, complaining. Don't be at the peripheral of the group on the outsides of the presence of the Lord. Be in the heart of the presence of the Lord if you want to embrace your promised land like Joshua and Caleb. We love you from Myrtle and I. With freedom comes responsibility. Be responsible.
Amen.
Love you.
Love you, Tata.